Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading is Genesis chapter 8, verse 13 to 16. Genesis 8, 13 to 16. I like to read. Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month of the first of the months, and the water was dry up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dry up. And in the second month, of the 27th day of the month, the earth was dry. Then God spoke to Noah, saying, "Go out of the ark, and you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you." This is the word of God. Today is the title is the January 1st, 2025, Remove the Covering of the Ark, Part 2. Last time we learned about the incident where Noah opened the door on the ark, the 1 year and 10 days between his entering the ark and his departure, and what he did to preserve his life in the ark. He communicated with God in prayer while in the ark, looking out a window 1 cubit below the roof. He waited a long time to hold on to God's word and promise, and he saw that he could not help but pray and long for God's word to be fulfilled before him, before his family, and before all creations. Moreover, we can see that Noah's life was one of complete obedience to God's word. He followed God's word in everything from start to finish. In particular, on January 1st, 1 year later, he opened the ark and saw that the waters had receded from the earth, but he did not come out of the ark. He waited for 57 days until God's command came. We can see that all his thought and heart were toward God. These 57 days were probably the hardest part of the first year and 10 days Noah spent in the ark. However, he obeyed until the end. Hallelujah. That's the kind of person God remembers and comes back to. Today, as we like Noah, cling to God's word to the end, I pray that you will enter the unknown year of 2025 with hope in your heart, renewed strength in your mind, and victory in your heart as you make the year God wants you to make. Amen. What we must not forget is that when we say Amen in faith, it becomes life and blessing to us, but when we accept it with the heart of unbelief, it becomes death and wrath. Look at this. Originally, water is a gift from God. Rain is God's grace. When we are unable to receive God and His word in faith, that water becomes a tool of judgment, and we must clearly see this. The fire. The same, the fire that destroyed the cities of the Sodom and the Gomorrah is also the word of God, the grace of God. The Holy Spirit burns in our heart, in our souls, and in our flesh. But when we do not receive it by faith, it is used against us in wrath and judgment. It should not be forgotten that the word is used as an instrument of judgment against the ungodly who willingly turn away from the word of God. The waters that covered the earth on the first day of January did not disappear on their own. the sun did not rise and dry the waters. The waters lift because God granted grace to lift the waters from the earth. You can see the Genesis chapter 8, verse 4, 1. The God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle. He remembered them. That's the reason. He considered Noah and his family who remained in the ark by faith to be victorious over the evil in the world. They were victorious because they did not drink of the waters of sin that would wipe out the earth in a 40-day flood. The number 40 has several symbolic meanings in the Bible. First, it is a period of testing. At the beginning of Jesus' public ministries, when he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, he was fully tempted in the flesh, but he was victorious through the word of God. Where did the number 40 originate? It came from the result of not fully believing God's word. God and the people he created were united. However, when man listened to the serpent's words, separation occurred between God and man. Thus, two numbers emerged, good, which follows God, and evil, which follows the serpent. With both good and evil occupying the heart of Adam and Eve, the number 4 appeared. And after 10 generations, the number 40 came in Noah's time. The number 40 is a period of chaos until the establishment of God's will, and it is also the path through which Satan and the devil invade human history. Therefore, from the perspective of Satan and the devil, the number 40 is a number of deaths that brought about the fallen separation in human history. But from God's perspective, the number 40 can become the number that ends this period of the spiritual chaos and united the number separate into good and evil into one number. When a person who established God's will by fearing God comes forth. Amen. To overcome the number 40, Noah dedicated himself to God's word and prayer in the ark and become the victor in the ark of wiping away all evil. The fact that Noah was saved after enduring in 40-day flood judgment, you can see Genesis 8, verse 17, and the significance of Jesus' victory through his 40-day fasting and prayer in the Matthew chapter 4, 1 to 11 is found right here. The devil has been tempting all believers with this false number of 40 ever since. You can see that in the Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, for false Christ and the false prophet will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. We have to be recognized that. Noah's flood was a judgment against sin, ushering in a new heaven and the new earth, but the fundamental root of sin, man's fallen nature, remained. Considering that 150 years after judgment of the flood, Nimrod, the son of Ham, the son of Gus, challenged God by building the Tower of Babel, the problem of sin occupying the human heart was not resolved. And the fire judgment of the Sodom and Gomorrah, which occurred 309 years after the flood of Noah, also proved that sin has not disappeared. This lack of removal over man's transgression before God shows that it was necessary for God to remove the old sin from man once and for all. And the scripture says that for all have sinned. You can see that Romans chapter 3 verse 23 and Romans chapter 3 verse 10 says to us there is none righteous, not even one. If there was a removal of the lid of the ark that swept away all the iniquity of the world, then there must be removal of the divine lid that takes away all our sins. To do this, God sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise from the dead and on the third day, and to remove the stone lid of the tomb in which He was buried, and to forgive us all our sins by His resurrections. The chief priest and the Pharisee, the devil serpent, who already knew this, wanted to prevent Him from the rising again from this tomb. So they closed it with a large stone, sealed it, and set up a guard to keep the stone tomb secure. You can see that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 63 to 66. When Noah preached the way of life, the word of righteousness, who believed him? So it is with the Lord. Who believed that He went to cross to bear our sins and take them away? Who believed that He would die on the cross and rise on the third day? The same is true in the last days. God's final message of the gospel is still being preached to us and through us. How truly do we believe this word, and how earnestly do we long for the Lord coming? Knowing something and longing for it, waiting and groaning for it to be fullness as soon as possible, is a difference as great as heaven and earth. Clearly, at the time of the Lord, the high priest, the Pharisee, the religious leaders, the peoples of Israel, the disciples, and even Pilate knew about the Lord's resurrection. However, they did not believe. Even though they saw the empty tomb, heard the words of the angels, and even saw the risen Lord with their own eyes, did they not still fail to believe? When they saw the great stone blocking the tomb of the Lord, they all hesitate and sighed. Let's look at the Mark chapter 16, verse 3. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? Why has the grave come to us? Sin, the result of Adam's disobedience, has brought death into the world and has made it impossible for us to escape the grave. The word, who will open the grave, become the sorrowful lament of fallen human beings who have not escaped sin and death since Adam. Even the disciples, who had heard the Lord's resurrection three times, were busy watching Jesus' crucifixion and the burial from a distance, frightened and sighing in dismay, thinking that it was all over. Man-made philosophies and man-made religious ideas have tried to solve this problem, but they have all failed miserably. They were busy making excuses for themselves This stone is too big. This stone has the seal of the law on it. If you break the seal, you will get in trouble. This stone is guarded by Pilate, loosely Roman soldiers. They deliberately turn away from the law's words. Clearly, this stone cannot be rolled away by our human strength. However, when we first removed the lid of unbelief and doubt from the world, the stone door will automatically open. Amen. Are we not wearing the lid of irresponsibility and laziness, falling to the graceful and thankful for the position and the roles we have received? These lids must be removed. Or is the day of or week barely over, and already worry and anxiety are covering your heart? Or are you wallowing in despondency and discouragement? This reed must be blown away, never to be seen again. Who moved the great stone door of this tomb and gave us life and eternal light? It was Jesus Christ, the Lord of the stone tomb, who appeared 11 times in 40 days to women weeping and trembling at the tomb, to Mary Magdalene, and to the disciples 7 times, to his brother James, and to the 500 when he ascended into heaven and showed himself resurrected. He affirmed the beginning of the new world, a new heaven, a new earth, beginning with the triumph, love over envy, jealousy, and hatred, righteousness over unrighteousness, and life over death. Hallelujah. The moment the stone lid was lifted on the morning of the resurrection, it was the moment the gate of heaven were opened. It was the moment when Adam's sin was destroyed and those who believed became the new creature in whom sin no longer had any claim on them. According to the 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, the Bible clearly talks to us. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Hallelujah. The opening of the Lord's stone door should lead us to open the stone lid of our own heart and become those who rush toward the gate of heavens. This can only happen when we are crucified with the Lord, when I die and am born again in the Lord, living by faith in Jesus. This is what must truly happen in each of our lives. Let's look at the Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Do not say that you know it all with your head. You must live by it. The pain of the crucifixion, the mockery he suffered, his confession on the cross must truly come from our heart. His love and victory to the end must be our confession. That's when the open door becomes ours. Let's look at the Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus said, I know your deed. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Amen. Let us not forget that the Lord is waiting right outside the door for us to open our own doors before Him. I give you another verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. Amen. This is the one who is truly united one with the Lord. I give you another one, scriptures, Psalm chapter 6, verse 4 to 6. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And I like to read verse 6. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Hallelujah. Are we not receiving eternal life because we do not know the way to eternal life? It is because we lack of faith that act. There is nothing we can do on our own. However, when we act with faith in Jesus and read that prevent us from becoming one with God will inevitably be removed. Amen. Now that we have become one with Jesus through faith, we must go further and become one with the Father, and we must achieve the eternal one, defeating the 40 numbers of Satan that have appeared since Adam. In this way, may the precious history of truly creating a new heaven and a new earth on this earth occur through us. And may the history of the fathers be confirmed and confirmed before God the Father as we begin the year 2025. And the times may all of us, the members of the Love First Church, be the overcomers, the descendant of the promise who finally fulfilled the eternal New Year's Day since Adam, and receive the glory that Father so desperately wants to receive. Amen. Let us pray.